Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Ruby's back.
I'm back. Yes.
Where have you been?
Well, I guess. Yeah. Well, I think it started out. I had like COVID or something. I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was COVID. Anyway. Because I got sick from someone who definitely had COVID. So I guess that's what it was. But that was fine. And then, then my appendix burst. So I had, emergency surgery or whatever. I waited a whole week to go to the hospital I was in, pain for, a whole week. I'm a really strong person. Not to brag, but, absolutely to brag. I just suffered in pain for a whole week until finally I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the ER, I guess. And then they were like, it's your appendix. And I had surgery. I never had surgery before. Have you had surgeries?
Well, I had when I was a kid, they put tubes in my ears.
Yeah, you don't remember that.
Twice. No, I remember it because the first time I was violently sick from the anesthesia.
Oh, really? Are you allergic to it?
No, but I threw up 47 times.
Oh, that seems like an allergy, maybe. Yeah. Or it doesn't sit right with you. I didn't have that. I didn't have any nausea at all. Even before I went to the ER, there's no nausea involved, which you'd think there would be, especially when you're when you have anesthesia. They kept trying to give me this nausea medicine that I'm allergic to, and I was like, no, I don't need that. First of all, I don't have nausea. But second of all, I guess they just give it to everyone no matter what. And I'm like, but I'm allergic to it, you know? And they were like, they still kept trying to ask me if I was nauseous. I'm like, I'm good. I'm fine.
Is it nausea or nauseous?
Nauseous is the adjective. Nausea is the noun.
I never knew that.
I know my parts of speech. Bitch. So what was I gonna say?
Wait, can I ask the most annoying question in the world?
Please do.
Why did you attract that?
I was waiting. I'm so happy. I almost asked you this already, just whatever, but I was like, I'll wait till the podcast, he's gonna say it. Well, look, it happens to a lot of people. So if I attracted that, so does a lot of people. Honestly, I think it stems from a children's book called Madeline, where it's a French girl, and she goes to school, and I don't know. I think there's 12 girls or something that go to school together, and I wish I could remember the nun's name. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Madeline has an appendectomy. And that's part of the story. She gets a really cool scar from it. But yeah. And I had a doll, a Madeline doll, and she had the doll even had this appendix scar stitched onto it. I was hoping to get that, but I didn't. Cause
what,
now they
it's
do
your subconscious desire to have.
I don't know. I thought it was really cool as a kid that she did that. And she had this really cool scar, and yeah, maybe Madeline wasn't something you read as a child because you were a boy.
No,
but, every little girl knows what Madeline is. Or every
what's
girl.
What's the other one where the girl has psychic powers?
I don't know. She has what kind of psychic powers?
She's adopted, and she lives in this. She goes to school at this her parents are really messed up, and they send her to this school, and they have this. Really mean principal. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, but I can't think of it right now. I know that sounds very familiar, but I'm not. You might have to give me another detail. It probably doesn't. And now I kind of want to know. Is she a witch or she's
No, she's a kid who. Matilda.
She sees the future? Matilda. Oh, yeah. Yes. That's why I was that sounds familiar, but the way you describe Matilda is probably not how anyone else would describe it.
She has psychic powers, and
have psychic powers, but I don't know. I would
Danny
have just
DeVito.
I would have just said Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I should have.
It's a Roald Dahl book, which honestly, the book when as a kid, like, gave me nightmares. It was the movie is nothing. Like, the book is really terrifying. It instills, like, terror in children.
Really?
If you've read it, you know.
All right. So you want me? So
why did I attract that? I was mostly joking, but probably like there's probably something in my subconscious that like planted that. I had really crazy deja vu when I was like in the hospital. Like they like made me stay for a few days for like, you know, because there's like a high risk of sepsis if you have your like appendix burst. Like, usually, I guess they try to catch it before it gets that bad because it causes problems. But anyway, they kept me for a few days, and I had a lot of deja vu. Like,
yeah.
Just, in, so, like, pretty intensely that would kind of, like, last for, like, you know, usually it's, like, a split second that you're, like, oh, I would just recognize this exact moment. But, like, I would kind of recognize, like, or felt like I recognized, like, I don't know, like, minutes of time or, like, just pieces of the day would like, I'd be like, oh, like this all like has happened before or something.
Maybe.
I was also on a lot of drugs.
Yeah. Maybe it was a major fork.
It was definitely like some timeline shit.
Yeah. Like maybe in another.
I almost died, but I'm pretty sure it was just like a timeline jump.
maybe it was in another universe. You died on that.
I've thought of that too. You
chose to stay. So what are you saying?
I don't want to die. I was very scared. I woke up from like anesthesia having like a panic attack. Like I was like trying to get out of the bed. I couldn't catch my breath. Like my heart was racing. And like obviously they're monitoring your heart. And they're like, you need to calm down. Like the first thing I remember was them like trying to give me anxiety medication. Because I was like having a panic attack when I woke up from surgery.
Yeah. I feel it. Yeah.
You know, like. I just didn't expect it. Like, had never been in a situation. I've never like had to go to the hospital before. Like, I've had stitches, I guess. That's like the only thing that's ever happened.
How many blankets did you have?
How many blankets?
Yeah, like I feel like you like to be comfortable. Was it like comfortable at least?
Like the hospital bed situation or like the actual surgery. I don't remember any of that. Like, I have no idea what was going on. Like that's all very blurry.
Did you have any fucked up dreams?
I did. Well, I think what happened, like, whenever I woke up was, like, I remember I was having a dream, like, a very intense, like, I don't know. I was kind of trying to remember it, but I think it was, like, upsetting me or something. But I don't remember what I dreamed while I was in surgery. They told me beforehand, like, try to think of, like, a good dream to go – like, a good place to go in a dream. Like, try to imagine, like, a beautiful place or whatever is what, like, the anesthesiologist was saying when he put me to sleep. And I remember kind of trying to picture, like, a beach or something. But I was very distracted by everything that was, like, going on around me. And then I just didn't remember anything else. So, obviously, I, like, knocked out. But
you chose a beach?
That's what I kind of usually choose because it's really? Like peaceful. Yeah, I love the beach. Wow. Like a pretty empty beach.
I would guess like a forest for you.
Yeah, I mean that kind of works, but like I feel like that's more to conjure. I don't know. Beach was the first thing that came to mind, but I didn't even get to really like visualize that before I was like knocked out, and there's just like a lot going on. But I kind of think like it's the kind of thing that while you're under, like I think on some level, like you hear what's going on around you maybe. And it was, I don't know. It seemed like the line between what was happening in reality was like blurred with my dream. Like I don't know. I've never had anesthesia before. And maybe that's just kind of how it goes because you kind of go in and out of consciousness.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't remember my dream, but I was definitely having a nightmare. And then I had a couple of bad dreams. Like, yeah, one was bad, but this is kind of a recurring theme for me, like hiding from shooters. Like,
really?
Like, yeah, like being in like either a workplace. It's usually a familiar place. Like it's a workplace or like not a school, but like it'll just be some place that like I'm familiar with, and like for some reason somebody's trying to kill me, And then, like, there's usually other people that are also, like, you know, like my coworkers or whatever, and I are all, like, in my workplace, and we're trying to, like, hide from someone. And eventually, like, in my dream, the shooter, like, catches up to me and is, like, over my head or, like, standing over me. And I'm just, like, curled up in a ball, like, trying not to look and praying nothing happens. And then I usually wake up. I don't, like, die. Yeah. You know?
Well, but I mean, that
I had one of those dreams that was pretty intense.
That has to do with, like, feeling powerlessness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, like, vulnerable, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah. And I know, I kind of know where that stems from, like, in my life, like, when those dreams started, you know?
Yeah, but it's also, like, think about it, you're kind of...
Oh, no, exactly. It's, like, it comes up when you feel, like, really powerless and, like, and scared, like, you know?
You're at the will of your body, you mm-hmm. know?
Ugh, so, hate well, that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. I'm doing fabulous.
I'm okay now.
it was, so, yeah.
Just... So just to look up, you know, just to be annoying and look up the spiritual meaning of appendicitis.
Oh, God.
It says inner longing to release what is being restrained. And it says
I don't know if that makes sense to me.
And it says the breakdown of the ability to filter incoming reality to protect ourselves from that reality. What do you think of that? It kind of comes up with, like, the inability to filter yourself from, like, life's challenges, kind of.
I don't know if I don't understand that either, though. Like, filter, like, what?
I think your own judgment, like, your own self... dislike, you know?
Like your self-worth or something? Ugh.
No, more of like you're tired of, like, judging yourself.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Oh, I mean, so that's how I take it out.
You're releasing that thing that's, like, holding you back. It is, like, connected to your, like, intestine. So it's, like, shit you hold on to, I guess. Like, you know, it's like
literal shit.
Literal shit. It's just gross, but it's literal shit that, like, has become, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Infected and, like, is, well, I don't know. It's like, I don't know, killing yourself. It's like necrotic.
Yeah, but think about that. Like, this is kind of, you know.
Ugh, gross.
Well, do you want to talk about your ex-boyfriend? Do you feel comfortable talking about that? Or
the dead one, my dead ex-boyfriend. So if you're my ex-boyfriend you and you're listening to that, well, I just want to clarify that it's not about anyone who's alive.
Yeah.
Right. Not that you're, they would listen.
Annoying asshole ex-boyfriends. We don't care about you.
There are some that I like. Some of them are okay.
Really?
They know who they are.
Do they?
Yeah.
You sure? Okay. So, all right. So it's interesting because I was thinking about now it tied it even more together because of what we were just saying. But so do you want to explain kind of what happened and how it connects to, like, this experience?
Yeah, I guess so. So I guess, well, March 10th was the 9th anniversary of my ex-boyfriend, his name was John. He died. So it was the 9th anniversary of his death this month. And the way he died was, like, a similar kind of, like, medical emergency, that he, like, waited too long to, like, deal with. And, like, he was just in a very similar situation, and he probably did need, like, an emergency surgery that, he didn't get. Like, he was too late. So he died suddenly. He wasn't, like, chronically ill or anything like that. And, you know, it's been a long time, so I've mostly, like, grieved and done that. But I think there was always, like, an underlying guilt that I carried. Which I think is common when you lose someone close to you, that you have, especially when it's, like, sudden like that, like, you wish that there was something you could have done, or like I feel like I should have, you know, intervened more. Maybe like I had a feeling that there was more, like they diagnosed him with pneumonia. I think that like they maybe either misdiagnosed him or there was just more going on, and I kind of always knew that. But it had taken him a long time to go to the hospital in the first place, so I'm guessing like had he caught it sooner, it probably wouldn't have progressed to the point where it was going to kill him. You know?
Yeah.
And so I didn't push him. He was very stubborn. He like didn't go to the hospital for a long time. When he did, like we didn't really get any answers. And somewhere in the middle of that, like we broke up and like separated our shit and like moved out of our like apartment that we had shared. And it was like about a week after that, I think, that we like fully moved out, that he died. So it was like, it was also just very like, I hadn't even like had a chance to like fully accept the breakup part of it. There was like all of those issues. And like I said, I don't feel super sad about it. I think it was like it was a weird turning point in my life. And I think it was an experience that, I don't know, there's a reason for things like that happen. It was at that point in my life, it was a very big, like significant moment for me. And it changed me a lot as a person, I guess, is what I'll say, in a good way, for the better.
How so?
I just think like, grief takes you to some really dark places, and there's healing in that. There's like growth in that. There's, yeah. You know, you have to kind of dig through the shit to find what really, like, who you really are and like what you really care about. Just being faced with like, the shadow, like mortality, like that's the most shadow that is.
Death, the fear of death.
The fear of death, confronting that. Like, that's, I mean, I think most people live their lives to avoid
dying.
Like, well, just to avoid even having to, like, face the fear that they have about dying.
Yeah.
And because, like, everything's about survival, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, so what, let's get back into that. Is that like you know, we were kind of talking about when the anniversary was up, and it was like you felt like you were kind of like holding on to some guilt that you had.
Yeah, guilt, you know, and kind of shame, and I think. I don't know, just for like
feeling like you should have did more.
Yeah, and feeling like you know, if you like care about someone, you want to be, I don't know. It's like, I wanted to be better. I wish I had been better for him.
Or do the right thing. Like,
yeah. Like I wanted to take, I just, you know, you want to like, you want to do your best to like show up for them. And like, I feel like, you know, your close friends, your like lovers, whatever, like those are, I just think that stuff matters. And like, you show up for each other. You come together so you can help, like, take care of each other. And, you know, obviously, like, relationships fall apart, like, friendships break up, people, like, whatever, go different directions in life, all of those things. But, like, even if that happens, like, I usually want to walk away, like, feeling, like, good about it. Like, I don't – for a long time, I always, like, maintained friendships with my ex-boyfriends, like, for – up until, like, fairly recently – like I always was able to like end things, like maybe not great terms right away, but like ultimately like we're still cool. Like if you called me and you needed something, I'd still be there for you, kind of a thing. Just because I don't like to lose people. Like I don't, you know what I mean? Like if I find somebody that I connect to like that, it's hard for me to just like cut somebody out of my life. That's just not ever been my style. And I guess I felt like I like failed him in some way. And, you know, like when someone just dies out of nowhere, like you don't get to resolve anything that you thought like we can have that conversation at the right time. Like, we'll work this out, whatever, you know, we'll forgive each other. Like, that's all, that all goes away. And I think I just always felt like really bad that there was no like forgiveness or like understanding at the end. And like, yeah, I just felt like I failed in the relationship, in the like, even just the like, yeah, being somebody, like taking care of someone, you know?
Yeah.
That's all. And I think like that always, yeah, that just always lingered. And I think, yeah, I just wanted to do some work to kind of like let that go and,
well,
and try to understand, like, you just pointed out some things, like when we were talking and doing like the energy work from his perspective that like would never occurred to me, because honestly, I was thinking of it really selfishly and thinking about myself and how I felt. I didn't think so much about how he felt at that time and like what decisions he made and what choices he made that like attracted that experience, as you would say. I hate that. You know, I hate that. But like, yeah.
But what else is it?
I don't know. Some things are fucking random. Yeah. They might, they might have that significance after the fact, but some things are just fucking random and it's not your fault. Well, not everything is, you're not to blame for every like little fucking thing.
I don't know.
Because so, I think like, that leads to the carry goat.
This is an endless argument, because if you attract your reality, then whatever you believe is true. So like, if I believe you attract your experience, I'm going to find evidence for everybody. Of course.
It's biased. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, and if you don't, then you're going to believe, you know, you're going to attract the experience that, you know,
it's
you don't.
Like if you're not in control. Like, I mean, I think to some degree, yeah, like you can manifest things or you can subconsciously push things away. I believe that's true, but I just don't think you can like blanket. I have a hard time with the hard, like black and white of that.
Yeah. But you know, like I've been really thinking about this lately. We're going to go on a sidetrack, but like,
it's okay.
If you are that person, like more and more, I think about how like you don't actually attract anything. It's like you are that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, maybe there is an
or it's aspect. An aspect of you.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, because like I always think about suffering, because I like
not suffering.
Yeah, but I do feel like more validated when I'm suffering, no matter how much I work on it.
Peter.
No matter how much I work on it, there's an aspect of me who likes that. Yeah. And I was thinking about it because it's like, maybe that's just who I am. And then even the people who have horrible experiences, maybe there's something there that validates who they are. And that's why they keep having these experiences. You know, but we get so used to judging it as good or bad.
Right.
It's just
it's like, maybe not, it's just nothing. And like,
no, but maybe it's just existence. It's like, this is who you are. You know, like you're meant to be this person who suffers through life at certain points, you know? It's sure. Like, that's just
and you wouldn't really want it. You wouldn't really want it any other way, or like it wouldn't serve you to like,
yeah, maybe you wouldn't feel good. Like maybe you, like maybe there's an aspect of you that sincerely likes suffering. Cause I think there is with me, like no matter what, like even if I don't, if I get, you know, if I have smooth sails in some part of my life, I always try to find something where it's tough. You know, like whether it's I go on a
like it's not worth it unless there's a challenge.
Like, and that challenge doesn't have to necessarily manifest as like I don't have money or I have emergency surgery. It could be, you know, I'm gonna go for a 20-mile run just to like teach my, you know, like that's how I feel validated. You know, whatever. But no. So let's go back to the. So you know, you felt like when we were talking, like you kind of wanted to release that pattern of suffering.
Yeah, and that particular one, because I think like I just needed, like I think I've been very like I'm the only person like that carries that, right? Like I kind of made up a story in my head about that, like that put blame on myself and felt like I punished myself for like my guilt over that situation, right?
Yeah.
And that was all on me. That was all in my head. Like I think I had never like gotten, like I was attached to that story is what I'm trying to say. So attached to the story that I'd made up in my head, and like talking to you about it, because I think like after a while, like you don't care so much. It's not like something you think about every single day, every moment. Like it, like when, you know, like it is when someone first dies and you're like, that's it, it kind of consumes you. But over time, like obviously it those intense feelings come up less and less, and you don't really, I don't know. It wasn't something I talked about much unless it was like, yeah, the anniversary or something. And so I don't think I had like a conversation like that in a long time. And you kind of just like gave me a different perspective. And you didn't, it's like, you don't, I feel like you probably of anyone in my life know the least about that whole situation. Like my, you know, other friends of mine might be able to tell me like, oh, like, it's not your fault. Like he, you know, he was an adult person. Like he made his own choices, like whatever. Like somebody else could say that to me. And it's just like, sure, whatever. You're just like telling me that to make me feel better. But something about it coming from you, and I felt like it almost came through you from him or something. Like you sort of, I don't know. That's kind of what we were trying to do. Like, yeah, it clicked for me finally. And then I guess it didn't really click that well for me, because then I had this experience.
No, I think this is proof. See, like, okay.
Well, no, I think, well, that's true. I think it is connected. It has to be, because it was like literally the next day is when I got sick. Like that's when I first started having like abdominal pain that was like pretty severe. And I was like, something's wrong. And I first thought it was like a kidney stone because the pain level is similar and like there's a lot of similar symptoms. I couldn't tell exactly, but like that's what I was telling myself, it was a kidney stone because I've had those before. And that was like something that like I figured was minimally dangerous. And like, you know, like you just have to wait them out and eventually they go away. But it just didn't. So obviously it was like my appendix, but when I first got sick was like the next day after we had that conversation about on the anniversary of his death. So well, I feel like that it seems like it's obviously tied to that.
Well, a couple things, right? You know, you kind of struggled with like income and stuff like that, and like if you think about it, like most of that, to me, my opinion is when people struggle with being comfortable financially, it always has to do with like self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you want to move through your issues with self-worth, like I think guilt
that was
is
a piece of it.
Well, yeah. Guilt is probably the hardest thing to get through in terms of self-worth, because you're like, I'm guilty of something. I don't deserve it, you know, like I don't deserve
mm-hmm.
these things, because
here's the thing though, like I feel like I have, like since that happened, I've done a lot of shit that I'm also not proud of and also feel bad about, you know.
Yeah.
Like I mean, just like anyone in the course of a decade, you've probably done a lot more shit that you like, I don't know. I don't have a lot of regrets. I wouldn't necessarily change anything in particular, but that doesn't mean there's not like underlying feelings of like blame and like just like feeling bad that.
Yeah.
Things happened the way they did, you know, even if
I mean, I think it's just parts of it, you know, like I think the other aspect is like, I think sometimes when there's like the energetics of like working through something, I think sometimes it has to like manifest. I don't
like
fully,
physically. Sure.
Like I don't fully understand it or like why, like what takes it over the edge.
Yeah, but, where it becomes like actual cancer in your body or
yeah, like, whatever. Yeah, like
whatever it is. Yeah. Or like you yeah, break but, your arm. Like you, just, you know, like something not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and I know you worked with Mountain Elf, who it's interesting, his name is John.
Yes, his name is John. Another, and that is interesting. I really like, honestly, that don't think of shit like that. Like that's the thing. It's like that's how like detached I feel from that situation. You know, it's like it's weird how things like are affecting you that you don't even think about. But I did some energy work with him. He does like forking. Like, I don't know what the word for that is. Is it just he uses tuning forks?
He forks you.
Yeah. He's great. I feel like something happened. But he like, he starts out working on your root chakra and he basically clean, you know, goes into your energetic, he connects to your energetic field and clears out energy, like bad old shit. Like, I don't know. I honestly, like he could explain it more articulately and in a way that he could explain it in a magical way that that I cannot.
Yeah.
But essentially, what I understand is he clears out like energies and just like shit that's not serving you. He like starts out on the root chakra. So that's like, you know, your environment growing up, your physical body, obviously.
Yeah.
Like it's material. Like
survival.
Yeah, like the most basic kind of things. And he goes through like your whole life. I mean, I think it's largely you're focusing on like your, he's focusing on clearing out energy from like significant events in your life or, you know, going back to like even being in the womb. And yeah, so I also like, I did this work with him like on, I think it was a Monday night or yeah, maybe, I think a Monday night. And I was telling him, I was like, I feel like shit. I've had like, I don't know, for some reason I have this horrible abdominal pain. I don't know what's going on. He's like, yeah, like that happens. He was like, I've actually been feeling sick since last night, like, or like early this morning or whatever. He's like, I'm picking up a lot of like physical health issues for you, like significant physical health stuff. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I don't really, other than this, like, and you know, I don't have a whole lot of like major physical health issues, or I never really have. Like, I don't have any chronic like illnesses or I don't take medication for anything. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was kind of like stumped by that. And I thought that was interesting. And I was like, I guess he's connecting the fact that like I just had COVID and like for whatever reason I'm sick right now. And you know, like when you get Reiki or something, they often tell you like drink a whole lot of water. Like you might feel like sick to your stomach or something. You know, you need to ground, you need to drink a lot of water, those kinds of things. It's similar to that, like when you do, if you've ever done Reiki. But I did not feel better. I did not feel better, I think, until my appendix actually burst a few days later, or five or six days later. When I like suddenly felt like, oh, wow, okay. Like, I think I was trying to convince myself that I'd been getting better. And then one morning I had this like horribly sharp pain on my right side, and then it suddenly kind of went away, and I got up and I felt like, you know, I just felt like better than I had in a long time. And apparently that's what happens. Like you get some temporary relief when your appendix actually bursts because like it relieves a lot of like the pressure, but then of course you like get a horrible infection and die essentially. The pain of it like came back like within a day or so, and I like lived with it for a minute, and then I like went to the hospital is what happened. But yeah, it was weird. Like he picked up on the physical health thing. I mean, I don't know. Some part of me is crazy, and I'm like, did y'all like plan this? Did y'all like put a spell on me? Like, like there's like a little part of me in my brain that's like, maybe I shouldn't be working. I don't really know like what these people, you know, I don't know who these people are. Like they could be like doing black magic on me or something and like cursing me with like physical health problems, or like planting that seed in my head so that I manifest it. Like there's like, I had those thoughts for sure. No offense. Yeah. I ultimately don't think that because I do think it's something that like comes from me, because it, you know, Like, well, it just, it's like, it's my body. I think I really do feel that I protect myself in a lot of ways, like from ill intentions, I guess, like other, you know, I think I protect myself pretty well. Yeah. And I think I'm ultimately like not a bad person or any, I don't have, like, why would someone want to do that to me? You know, like, I just don't think that. It feels like, yeah, it's my body. Like, I don't know. It's a random thing. Well, it happens to a lot of people. Like, I think it was like, maybe I attracted the experience, but also maybe it was just like a physical manifestation of the release that I was looking for. Cause so much of the time when you're praying for things or you're like hope, like you have goals, like things come in very strange ways. They don't come how you necessarily like would have pictured them. I don't even know if I knew what I was looking for to happen in terms of a release. Like, I think maybe I need to work on like being able to kind of picture what I want to achieve when I'm doing that kind of work.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least like how I want to feel, like, you know,
you don't think it's like significant that you kind of went through the same experience your ex-boyfriend did? Like, what's a better teacher than for you? It's like,
well, that's the thing. It's like, I shouldn't have been so stubborn. It showed me how, like, it was like a mirror for sure, because it showed me how, like, how much I resisted handling something when I knew something was obviously wrong with my body, but I had a lot of reasons in my head, like, not to do anything. I don't have health insurance. So like, going to an ER period, even if it's nothing, is like very expensive. And I'm honestly just, I don't like those environments. They stress me out. I don't like doctors. I don't have a lot of trust in our healthcare system because it is so corrupt. And I think a lot of people relate to that. But like, I just also had like a lot of fear. Like, I was scared to find out that something was wrong. I was scared to find out that I needed surgery. And like, I just avoided it. I didn't want to deal. And that was my choice. I was very stubborn about it. Like, so many people told me to go to the fucking hospital. Yeah. Like, you know? Like, you know what I mean? And I wasn't going to listen. I didn't go till I was like, until I started to get like more scared of what might happen if I didn't, I guess. So like, I don't know. All of that being said, that is probably what he went through, you know, like that's, no one could tell him anything, just like nobody could have told me anything. And it was my body that I was like neglecting, and I wasn't listening. Me, who like says I have this great intuition and like tries to like wants to listen to it and wants to be able to fine tune that like mind body connection. Like, I wasn't fucking listening to like my body fucking screaming at me and telling me like, you're gonna fucking, you know, you're gonna die, bitch. Like, you know, like being in that much pain, like it's not normal. Like, it's not just gonna disappear. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah, it's like, but that's on me.
That you, like,
that's it on me, not on anybody else. Like, well, I think my family would feel bad if I had died. Like, if I had died, they would probably carry a lot of guilt. And like, you know, like they probably would feel bad. And it makes sense that you would. Like, I don't need to like be like, oh, I should have released this a long time ago. Like, yeah, of course it wasn't my fault. Like, no, of course. Well,
how do you feel
like that
when you think about it now?
I feel like I feel like I learned a lesson, just like I need to take better care of myself and prioritize taking care of myself more. Listen. Yeah, I think like, I just think I learned a lesson about like being stubborn and like trying to rationalize my way out of something that's like obviously wrong just out of fear. I don't think I would do that again. I think, you know, like, I think I will, I wouldn't let that happen again, I don't think. But other than that, I'm kind of at peace with the whole thing. I'm really grateful that it went well and I'm okay. I don't know. Yeah, I mostly feel grateful that I'm all right. And also, like, I think it just solidifies the fact that, like, yeah, it wasn't, whatever happened to John, like, was not my responsibility. It had nothing to do with me on some level. He made a lot of choices that got him. That sounds awful, but he did. He made choices that, yeah, just because I don't think he was consciously trying to like kill, like die, like let himself die or just like whatever, but he just wasn't, he was just disconnected, I think, from like reality, like the reality of like being sick. And I don't know, just he made choices that like put his life at risk, and like that's not anybody's fault. Some of it's just random, like anybody can get a blood clot, like a lot of us probably have them right now and don't even know it. You know, like you should go for a walk today. But people do, like, you don't know if you're like, you, if you're sitting down at a desk all day at work, like you can get blood clots, like you need to move around, you know. Or if you have like certain other health issues, you're at risk for them. If you're a smoker, shout out to the smokers. You should be good. You'll never get a blood clot if you smoke cigarettes.
No, that's not true.
I'm sorry. That's false information. I'm just kidding. Obviously, you're at higher
you're
risk.
Don't smoke, you're gonna die. That's what we're gonna say.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't want to say like he made the choices that he made that got like that killed him. Like, I don't think it was that like linear of a situation, but
yeah, but I mean,
there wasn't anything, I didn't do anything wrong. I did the best that I could. I can't control another person, and that's, I like, I really do believe in autonomy. Like, that's a big thing for me. I don't want someone to like make choices for me, and I think John was a person like that too. Sometimes you get, I feel like I don't know. Sometimes you, never mind. But yeah, I think I connect to that more. I understand that more, like from his perspective, where I was, like I said, I was mostly thinking about it from my own perspective and making up like a story in my head about like what I could have done that would have like changed the outcome. But that's like, it's not my life. You know, there's nothing I could have, I did the best that I could. I did what I could. You can't really, you can't impose on someone else's autonomy. And it's not fair to you to like take responsibility for something that like is not your fault.
Yeah. Well, like, think of it this way, right? Do you think if somebody wanted to die, do you think it's okay if they kill themselves?
Yeah. I mean, I would, God, that's horrible. I shouldn't have said that.
Why?
Because like, I feel like I shouldn't, I don't want to be, I don't want to advocate for that. I obviously would hope that like, I personally wouldn't do that.
It doesn't matter.
Well, people kill themselves in all types of ways that we don't, like, you know, addicts kill themselves, even if it's not like intentional or planned. Like, people kill themselves.
I know, but I'm
like stressing about work.
People should have the choice.
Well, you do have the choice. It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying, like, I'm asking your opinion. It's not.
I think if it feels that bad, or if you're, I think if you, yeah, no, if you're very sick, if your life has become very small because you're like, you know, what's the word when you're gonna die no matter what?
Terminal.
Like, if you're terminally ill or something, absolutely you should have that choice, because we make that choice for our fucking pets. Like, when our pets are elderly and can no longer see or hear or like walk around hardly, like, we put them down, we put them to sleep peacefully so that they don't have to just like suffer unnecessarily. But we don't grant that to ourselves. That's like, the Bible says that's bad, or I don't know what, I don't know. I mean, what do Catholics think? Do they think it's a sin, right?
Suicide?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they think you're going to hell.
Even if you did it under, like, kind of extreme circumstances, like, there's no, like, leeway on that. Like having, like, terminal brain cancer where, like, or like having, say, Alzheimer's and deciding, like, at a certain point, like, once you've declined to a certain extent, that, yeah, like, you made that, you know, like, if you can cognitively make that decision and, like, have the awareness to make that decision, like, for the future, I think you should be allowed to do that kind of thing. I mean, obviously, like, people can do whatever they want with their own beings.
Oh, I mean,
what's the difference? I think if we didn't have that, we have that choice. We were given that choice. We have that control. Like, we're gonna die regardless, but we do have the choice to end it at any point. So, like, that's probably how it was intended to be, for our own, like, experience as, like, in humanity. You know, like, if we weren't meant to be able to kill ourselves, we wouldn't be able to.
Well, yeah, I mean,
so it's like, I obviously think that, like, life is valuable, and I don't want to, I think I'll go whenever it's time. I don't think I would ever kill myself. I don't know. Like, I think everyone has, I think it's a very human thought to have. I think it occurs to everybody. Everyone kind of imagines that at some point, and it's not that abnormal or, like, pathological or anything. I don't get to decide for someone else if they should kill themselves or not. I guess is my take on most things like that. I'm like, that's up to them. Like,
yeah,
I can't really say if we should or shouldn't. I mean, I would hope not, unless it was pretty dire, unless it was going to be worse to, like, stay alive, you know. But
yeah, I mean, I grew up, I had two friends who killed themselves.
Really?
Yeah. I had a friend who, like, moved away in, like, middle school. And
oh, yeah, you told me this. Oh, that's crazy. And
he, like, shot himself in the head.
How old was he?
Probably, like, 7th grade. 8th grade.
Oh, my God, that's so young.
Yeah, right?
I know that happens. But at that age, your brain is, like, you're full of, like, all kinds of stuff, like, hormones, and your brain is developing, and, like, you're experiencing intense, like, obviously, as kids, like, you have extreme or intense emotions, like, you might be screaming, crying, throwing a fit, but, like, it passes, like, you don't have the, like, attention span really to, like, stay freaking out about, like, whatever you were crying about. Your attachment to, you don't have the same kind of attachment to things, I think. When you're a teenager and you start having, like, hormones, like, it kicks into gear, like, really intense, deeper emotions. And I think, yeah, I don't know. I think that's why there's, like, high rates of, like, teen depression and teen suicide, because it's the first time you're, like, responsible for all these fucking feelings that you're having. And if you're, you know, if you're in a bad fucking environment or whatever, like, getting treated badly, that's, you know, exponentially worse. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just like a factor of that, like, that developmental transition that causes, like, more of that. But it's also really just sad because your brain's still developing, and if you, like, give it a little bit of time, like, you, those things that felt so big to you at 13 or 16 aren't going to matter, you know, like,
yeah,
let him cook, you know.
Yeah, but you can't like tell that. You don't know that at the time.
No, you don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, as an adult, you have you've been through enough to, like, understand that, like, things, like, might be shitty right now, but they'll probably pick up in a little, like, you just got to get through this. It'll get better. Things do, you know, things that seem hopeless at one moment will probably, something will shift in time. Like, life is up and down. You've had enough ups and downs to like understand that it's a pattern. You have more like ability to like you have more logic, I guess, when it comes to stuff like that. Like, you can recognize the patterns that you go through in life. But as a teen, it's like the first time, and you do feel like, what if it never gets better?
Yeah.
I mean, shit, I wondered if it would never get better after I got out of surgery. It was like really like a whole lot of pain. And I was like, man, like this isn't that much better than how I felt before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, wow, what if I'm stuck like this? Like it, almost like on a bad trip, you know, where you're like, what if I don't come out?
Yeah. Or you when know? You eat an edible or something.
Yeah, but you do. You always come out of it.
Do you?
And I mean, maybe some people don't. I don't want to say. I don't know.
Or maybe you don't even know. And you didn't even come out. You're still sleeping.
No, like that. Maybe in some, yeah, in some version of reality. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much I don't care. I don't really know what's going on in some other like place and time. Like, I don't, it doesn't matter. Not relevant.
Yeah. So, what else did we want to talk about today?
I don't know. That was like a lot about suicide. Jesus.
Yeah, it would be an upper.
Like death. Good God. Well, what's going on with you? Like what?
I don't know. When's the last time we talked? Well, I did like the trance workshop. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, was that good?
I've been practicing that every day when I wake up. Mm-hmm. So I've been feeling a lot of that. I feel really resonant with the guide who's coming forward. This woman she was like a spiritualist. And she was able to create a voice box out of ectoplasm where like spirits can like talk through. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, that's interesting because that sounds like a horror movie.
I don't know.
Well, like in a horror movie, it's always like super scary and demonic. It sounds like whatever you've experienced is probably just like, yeah, it's just like maybe the next step in your mediumship. You know what I mean? Like it's just the next.
Well, she was.
It's time for you to graduate.
Yeah, her name's Tikla Khan, and she was American. Her parents were actually slaves in America.
And I thought she was English.
No, she was from America originally.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And they went back to England, her parents, and her parents were like spiritualists and like mediums, and they raised her to kind of be a medium. And I guess she would create through physical phenomena or ectoplasm, she would create this like voice box, and you would be able to hear the person in spirit's voice through her.
Mm-hmm.
And they would talk through her. And she actually got arrested for, I guess, during World War One, spiritualism was like booming, and a lot of people would, because of all the deaths in England from like the war, a lot of people would seek mediums, and they started to like make laws against mediums, and she got arrested for doing like a public demonstration of mediumship.
Yes. Okay. So I think that's interesting because I think when the government starts to ban those types of things, like they're actually afraid that they're like actually afraid of that. And it takes away like, okay, say you're connecting as a medium to soldiers in the war who tell you some shit that's really going on that like doesn't fit the narrative that the government has given you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that stuff's real. And when they start coming for those kinds of spiritual practices, it's not because it's a scam or whatever, or it's like harmful. It's because it's threatening to their control.
Well, I mean, that's why the program of like connecting to spirits is evil, because if you could connect a spirit yourself, why would you go to church?
Exactly. Why would you go to church? Why would you, why would there be any other authority?
Yeah. Why would you pay? Why would you give donations to the church if you could talk to God yourself?
Yeah. I saw a funny joke about that, 'cause we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast. But I saw like just like a video. It's like a stand up bit from somebody. And she was like talking about how she thinks it's interesting how, like, you know, like Christians just like talk to God, like, you know, they just, they'll, you know, they're just like, they have this close relationship to Jesus. They pray for things, they talk to Jesus, they have a relationship. Like, if you've ever had like a devotional, there's like these like passages that are based on like Bible verses that tell you to like walk with Jesus, and it's like Jesus talking to you, and he's like, if you don't know what to do, like, give it up to me, ask me, I will lead you where you're meant to go. You know, it's like you're supposed to really be like asking Jesus, looking to Jesus to like show you a sign to get, point you in the right direction, whatever. She didn't say any of that, but I'm just saying. Anyway, like, her joke was that, like, she grew up Catholic. She went to Catholic school, and she was like, I got, like, basically, I don't know, she doesn't call it a phone book, but she got, like, a list of people to go to before God. Like,
Actually, I think I saw that.
It was like, you know, you have your guardian angel available 24/7. Like, that's what they do. Talk to them. If your guardian angel's not available, you can talk to the saint who is over whatever the problem is. You know, like, you can go to your priest, like, whatever. But don't you bother Jesus. Like, don't bother Jesus with your little problems. Like, she, you know, there was like a handout of like other people to go to before you should ever go to Jesus. And I mean, I think it speaks to like the church, the Catholic Church's like control and like programming, you know, like, the church like imprisoned like mystics, you know, people who talked to God and had visions of God would be like exiled or like imprisoned, so that people couldn't hear what they had to say, because it would often like go against the church's authority.
We've always suppressed outside the structure, you know. It's like you can't see outside the structure if you're just focusing on like the structure.
Yeah,
it just, you know, it's ridiculous, because it's like so many people, especially on TikTok, there's like a rebirth of like Jesus people. It's like I feel like more people are like turning to Jesus, which I guess is okay, because maybe they feel like they're struggling or the world or whatever. So it's like, it's in those moments where people kind of reach for the light if you're suffering or you're going through something. But it's like, to think that like Jesus is the only answer is ridiculous. Like, I just don't get why people think they're right and other people are wrong, you know? But I mean, if you're built into that way of thinking and that's how you're identify and like your identity is latched into that, like, you're not gonna break your identity, because it's like who you are. It's like anything, you know? I think we were talking about my son is like playing soccer. He plays like travel soccer. He made this like travel team, and they're horrible. Like, I don't think they've won.
That's so mean.
They are, though. I'm just being honest.
I'm just teasing. I'm just kidding. Like, yeah, I was on a bad soccer team. It's okay.
They're horrible. They're not just bad. They're horrible.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're
like they don't win a single game, right?
They don't win a single game. And like, they're not even necessarily bad soccer players. They just, I don't think they care as much.
Are they like a new team? Like, is it all like
kind of like the last
that's
year?
That's part of it too. Like, you kind of have to build that like bond.
But they're horrible. And like, my son has so much fun like playing, but I'm just like, you guys lost.
That life. Matters to you.
Of course it does.
Because, well, you're like a, you know, you are an or were an athlete, like whatever.
I'm still an athlete, all right?
I mean, no, I mean, but like you grew up playing football. You went to college playing football. That's like an intense level of dedication and to the game. And obviously, like, you're programmed to fucking win. It's not like, it's not just about having fun.
Well, I also think it's like an America, like, capitalist thing of like, you know, you want to be the best at whatever you do.
Most of us are just average. It's okay.
I would say most of us are probably a below average.
That's so bullshit. I hate hearing that. Like, not most people aren't that, like, aren't, yeah.
No, but like, so listen, it's just like a way of being. Like, I identify with, like, you work harder to get better. Like, that's,
yeah, but you also identify with, like, suffering and, like, struggle.
Yeah, but it's like, you work hard to get better has worked most of my life. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's like,
I feel like I had the opposite. I feel like I was, like, naturally just good at stuff and, like, pretty smart, like, my whole life, like, growing up as a kid. And so I thought everything was supposed to come easy to me. And so, like, I don't have the same, like, work ethic that, you know, like, I feel like I wasn't challenged enough. Like, it's not that I was so great or so smart. I just think I didn't, like, go out of my way to, like, really push myself or challenge myself. I only ever really liked to do things that I was naturally good at, because for the most part I was pretty decent. Like, I could get by, you know, and I was okay with that. Like, I, you know, obviously, like, I want to be good at things, but when I'm not, like, right out the gate, it's discouraging. Yeah, I think your mindset is different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you,
yeah, but you could look at that two ways. You could look at that two ways. It's like, you know, if you're not naturally good at something, you don't want to do it. It's like, that might be better.
The thing that's not for you.
Yeah. Like, it's like, you're learning to be more authentic to who you are might not be an athlete, you know, where like maybe somebody like, no, but like maybe somebody like me, maybe I'm not either, but I forced it and mm-hmm. like tried to get as good as I could be, not even really being an athlete. Like, I feel like my mind, I'm more of an artist, creative person. Like, those are the things I do that make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love to paint. I did pottery in college. Like, I always loved art. Like, I always took, like, even in high school, I used to take, like, art electives. You know, mm-hmm. I'm into music.
Yeah.
Writing and stuff like that. But
I think I wonder if it was, like, you loved all that stuff, but you didn't have the, like, faith in yourself or the confidence in yourself the way that you, like, maybe something about playing sports gave you a foundation.
Yeah.
Of, like, having trust in yourself, like, knowing that you can, like, work at something and get good at it, you know?
Yeah, well, I also,
like, think it's almost, like, lower stakes if you don't care about it as much. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the thing, I think people are most afraid to do the things they want to do the most.
Yeah. Well, I also think, like, for me growing up, like, you know, like, with my kids, like, my daughter Anna loves art. Like, half the presents I've gotten her in her life have to do with art. But I'm always like, oh, you want to do some art? Like, I love art. Like, and I always kind of, like, push her because I feel like she likes it. Like, oh, let's do some art, you know? Where, like, I feel like growing up, like, the creative aspect of me wasn't really rewarded, you know, where like sports, like, oh, you guys won, like, oh, that's, you know, like, oh, you worked at something and you got better, or like
you want to see progress. Like, I think as an Aquarius, you strive for progress, if nothing else.
Well, I feel like, yeah, because art isn't really like, it's almost like not a tangible thing that you can like grasp, you know? Like, you either win or you lose.
Bad art is good art sometimes, right? Like,
No, but I'm saying like winning and losing is like a tangible thing where you could be like, oh, I'm good at something because I won.
Right.
Where like art is like interpretation.
It's subjective.
You could look at it and be like, oh, that's stupid. Or like somebody could think it's like a world-class art. Like you don't, you know. So yes. Maybe I just need like that a boy.
I mean, I feel like, I don't know, all the Aquarius people I know are very artistic. Like, they're either musical or, like, I don't know. Like, my sister, like, she always loved to draw as a kid. And she's also has this, like, she's always had this, like, interest in, like, science-y stuff, which, like, I never really had much of either of those things. Like, I think I never felt like I was, like, good at drawing, and so I never really liked art. And I had a mean art teacher in elementary school who, like, just made me feel like I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to fuck with any of that. You know what really? I mean? But, like, yeah. I feel like she really got in my head. She was mean. She's a mean lady. I can't remember her name. But I think I was probably too energetic for her. And also kind of I probably needed like an atta girl, like good job, Ruby. But I got a lot of like stern talking to's about like sitting the fuck in my seat and doing it this way. Like she was a very like do what I say, do it this way. Yeah. Like teaching, like it wasn't like a freedom of expression situation. Yeah, so
I had the best. I had Mrs. Podless. Shout out to Mrs. Podless. You
remember her. Yes. See, I'm glad I don't remember that lady's name. I remember my music teacher. Sorry, I'm talking. Go ahead.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
She actually kept my art from school, or she pretended to.
Was that like in high school or like
elementary? Mrs. Podless was elementary school.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I made a Tasmanian devil sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
And I got like selected for some art show or something.
Hell yeah.
And she like kept it. And then, yeah, she was awesome. Mr. Engelman was like my middle school art teacher. And Mr. Bocci was my high school art teacher. And I did sculpture and stuff like that. I don't know where we were going with this, but we were talking about, yeah, like trying, like, you know, with my son, it's like, should I just be happy that he's just having fun? Or do I like push him to like get better? You know?
I don't know. Like, I think you gotta let him pick it out, like choose. You know, he's like 10 or 8. I'm sorry. He's like 8, right? 9?
He's gonna be 9 on Saturday.
Okay, he's gonna be 9 on Saturday. I think he's old enough to decide, like, what he wants to do. I mean, if he is not wanting to work harder at it because he's afraid to fail, that's possible because he's an Aries.
Yeah.
They like to be good.
I would say, well, he's going through a lot because he's in Ketu Mahadasha, which is, like, a very tough period astrologically in, like, Vedic astrology where he's, like, kind of can feel like loneliness. He could feel like a sense of like being detached from everybody. It's like the headless snake. So it's like you kind of lose a sense of yourself. So he probably struggles the most out of my kids in terms of just life right now. You know?
Yes.
So it's hard. And Aries is just like a tough sign for me in general. I mean, he's a very good kid. He's a Leo moon, so he always has this like side of him that like does the right thing. You know, so he's never really like a problem. He's more of like, I don't know, just like he can be like an emotional mess sometimes. You know?
Yeah, sure. Well, he's also like just at an age where that happens, I think, too.
Yeah, kids are tough.
Like, well, I feel like once you get to be like 9, 10, like things start to like you're not a little kid anymore, and
yeah, he's asking me about He's starting to ask me where babies come from.
Exactly.
Which is, I don't know how to.
You just tell him that's not. I don't know. I don't know why you would ever be. Are you squeamish about that?
I don't know. Like, I feel like.
You should talk to him about it.
Sex is like such a fucked up topic to talk about. You know, I don't know. Like, part of me, it's like.
Maybe you shouldn't. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Like, I feel like people put like such a weird spin on it. Like, I don't know. Like, I remember like the first time. I remember my like first orgasm.
Good God.
Yeah.
Can I ever talk about my first orgasm on this podcast? Like, just don't let I'm not even gonna let you do that. Don't talk about it. You don't wanna do this. You don't wanna go down this road. Make your point, but
no, but I'm just saying, like, it's like nobody really talked to me. Like, I don't know, like,
no, yeah,
just because, well, like, you talk about like even like pleasure, you know, because you like nobody, like, just because a teacher talks to you in sex ed or something, like when you're in like sixth grade, about like what a penis and a vagina is, it gives you no real perspective of like the depth connected to like the emotion, and then like all the weirdness that comes with like religious guilt and stuff like that of like what you're doing. And it's like, I don't know, it's just like nobody ever really talked to me as a kid in the sense that I maybe wish they did.
Yeah. I mean, I think I know I've talked about this before, but like, yeah, nobody really taught me anything except like friends that I had, but I found my own resources to learn about.
Yeah, but what, like porn?
No. I watched Talk Sex with Sue, which is like a nighttime talk show. Sue was like, I think, a nurse practitioner from like Canada who had like a talk show, and people would call in with their like
love lines,
sort of like love line, but it was specifically about sex and sexual health and that kind of thing. So like people would come in like asking for like advice on like everything from like how to give a blowjob or to like, you know, I don't know, like fertility and all kinds of things, just like the mechanics of sex. And like it was like a adult sex ed course or whatever. It was on like, you know, like a nighttime talk show sort of thing on, I think, Oxygen. So I learned a lot from that. And then like I did research on the internet. I read like erotic literature. So which I know that sounds so nerdy, but it was better than porn for me, I think. Like it, because it was described, and I had, you know, it wasn't like, I feel like most erotic literature is pretty like tame, or at least whatever I was finding as like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, but almost like, I don't know.
That's where I got a lot of what I know is Talk Sex with Sue and like what, like this like literotica site.
No, but even like in the sense of like sacredness, and not like the sacredness of.
Nobody
like,
ever taught. Yeah, I don't think I've ever figured that part out.
Yeah, but I feel like I wish I would know that, because like I feel like we give so much of our energy away in terms of like sexuality.
It's definitely a bigger deal than like what you would think of it if you were just like learning about it through your school and like maybe like watching porn, like when you can sneak it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
like it's a much bigger thing than that, like spiritually, I guess. But I think that's also like, that's something that you have to kind of learn on your own, like the way that like Christians teach it about like saving yourself for marriage, and they teach you it's fucking sacred, but more than that, they teach you that it's sinful and it's bad.
Yeah,
so like you don't want to give that without
the guilt,
right?
You know, like,
I think that's part of like discover being. Something you have to kind of discover on your own to a degree, though.
Yeah, it only took me 40 years.
40 years. Yeah, it takes time.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I think it's just that's why.
Like,
it's
hopefully like your kids will learn it sooner or whatever. But you, I don't know. You can definitely teach them that, but I don't think it's gonna click for them, because I almost think you like kind of have to have like had sex to like understand that part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, you can't just teach somebody it's bad, or that, like, you know, that it's, like, this sacred thing where, it's like it's not just this physical thing, right? I feel like you can only really probably make that connection once you've like understand the physical part of it, probably. That's just my thought. I don't know. But you can like, I'm sure you can give a basic rundown of like where babies come from without having to get into all that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to dump all of it on them at one time.
Yeah, no, I know. But it's like, it's like the same thing as like, I don't know. I tend to be extreme. So that's why it's like, I talking about your body, you know, like even just like health wise. You know, like my kids listen to me too much and then they like repeat exactly what I say. And it usually gets me in trouble, you know?
Like, yeah, you've talked about that, about how you like teach them specifically that like McDonald's is poison.
Yeah, just stuff like that, you know?
It's, I think, like, McDonald's is like healing. I don't know.
What?
I love McDonald's. I don't like, whatever, we can like leave. I don't like eat it all the time. I know it's like not the best thing, but I don't think it's poison, but it's not any more poison than like a lot of things. Like, I don't know what kinds of things you feed your children. Like, are you guys like an all organic kind of home?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I mean,
like,
my kids
do you like let them eat like snacks, like
oh yeah, yeah, I'm not,
so like you're not gonna like deny them like a Cheez-It or something.
No, I mean, this,
well, that's poison too.
No, I mean, I stay away from, I don't buy Cheez-Its, like they're not
okay, my, sure. I'm just giving, like, that's just like the first thing that came to mind, but like pretty, like, you know,
I buy like organic snacks for the most part and stuff like that,
but like okay,
I try, but to,
it's still processed.
No, I mean, I try not to get like processed stuff. Like, I try to get like grass-fed organic beef jerky, you know, like stuff like that. Like, I don't.
Oh my god!
You know, and I make sure stuff doesn't have like soy or.
If I ever come to your house and bring snacks, I'm bringing like Oreos.
My kids eat great. Like, I make real food, like steak, you know, or like chicken, or you know, like.
You make your kids carnivores, essentially. What you're saying.
Yeah, but they eat like fruit. My kids love fruit, you know, mangoes and stuff like that. But you know, but like that's these things,
and then they go and tell other people like that McDonald's is poison or whatever, penis and vagina, and then they get in trouble at school, and your wife is probably looking at you like, I heard like they got, you need to deal with this because they got it from you.
Yeah. Basically. Well, I mean, like, my son has like one or two friends who are probably bad influences who are probably gonna tell them anyway, so it's like, you know, they're gonna hear it one way or another, you know.
Yeah,
but the goal is to try to give them, you know,
give them a foundation. You let him know that you can talk about that stuff, so that,
yeah, well,
like, so that he knows there's another outlet besides like just his like shitty dumb friends who don't know anything.
Yeah, and you want to have the space where your kid could talk to you about anything, yeah, even if it's uncomfortable.
You know what my mom did for my sister to like teach her about sex ed?
What?
She sent her to, she was probably like in sixth grade or so. Yeah, I think she was in sixth grade. But she sent her to like the local Unitarian Universalist Church. They're, you know, they're like non-denominational, like hippie dippy.
Yeah, they kind of observe all religions.
Sort of. And they had like a like little like program, like a sex ed program that was taught from this very like hippie dippy, but also like anatomically and science, like kind of, yeah, like sort of woke way. But that, yeah, my mom was like, I know I don't have like it in me to like have these conversations with my kids, and like also I think she'll get more out of it from like having to go with like learning to hear it from someone else, I guess. But she had to go with like her, like a lot of the kids that went like were also her classmates in school, and like what an awkward experience to like see people in the hallways and be like, oh man, yeah, we both saw that video of that lady giving birth. Like, you know, yeah. Like, ugh. I don't know. I think it was very awkward at the time, but yeah, it did the job. I think those kinds of things are good too. Like, kids don't want to do them, but you know, if there's like a hippie lady who teaches sex ed for preteens, like at a local church, it's probably a great place. Like, they're gonna learn what they need to know. They're gonna learn how to protect themselves from pregnancy and STDs, and they're gonna know what they'll probably be able to find the clitoris, which you don't want your son to not be able to do that. Like, you probably don't want to teach him that skill, but like, you don't want him to get to be, you know, 20 years old, like, not knowing what he's doing.
Oh my God.
Like, the hippie lady at the local Unitarian church will probably do a good job of teaching your son how, like, the basics.
Yeah, I'm just saying, person.
It worked for my sister. Like, that's, yeah, you need an old lady to do it. They do a good job. Old hippie lady, feminist. No, like, she needs to wear a crystal around her neck. Then my son will have
some weird cougar issue.
She's wearing a patchwork sweater. And a long skirt with Tevas or clogs.
That's
what you need to look for.
That's how weird kinks happen. Then my son will be looking for grandmas when he's 18 years old because of one experience.
She's wearing a turtleneck with sweater vest over it for some reason. You know, and it's like the sweater vest has like weird different patches, and it's like an, you know, I don't know, definitely a turtleneck, definitely a crystal, like a long crystal pendant, Tevas or clogs.
I think we should end it on the gilf.
I'm just describing like a very particular type of woman, sex positive old ladies. I don't know. That's a great, I don't know. Maybe one day I'll be like them.
I mean, I used to have like, it was my grandma's sister. So I guess that would be my great aunt. She was like 90 years old and she was so vulgar and stuff like that. It was hilarious.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Okay. We can end it. I'm sorry if I got weird. I was mostly just trying to lighten it up.
Suicide to gilfs.
Gilfs.
All right, we'll end on gilf. Follow us on Spiritual Graffiti Pod on Instagram, Blue Collar Spiritualist, Ruby Marvel. Thanks for supporting. Please like, comment, share, do whatever you can.
Follow us on. Or subscribe on Patreon, I mean. Not follow.
Yeah, and
subscribe on Patreon.
Spotify or whatever.
All right, cool. Thank you guys for listening.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.